Good evening. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White, this evening with one of the most brightest, warmest, loveliest storytellers in the Lehigh Valley, Mary Wright.
Well, thanks, Sheila.
We have a really interesting project that you're working on to talk about. And why don't you just give us a quick intro blurb to what this project is.
Okay, quick intro blurb. Mm-hmm. All right, well, Kitchen Chronicles is a theater experience. It's a home concert, at least this iteration of it is. And it's basically just an exploration, and for me, an artistic exploration of the role that food and kitchens plays in our homes, in our community, and the way that feeds us body, spirit, and mind and soul.
It's interesting that you're focusing around the kitchen. We know that a lot of drama can happen in the kitchen, whether oh, yeah. it's something burnt or spilled or what have you. But I think what's interesting about kitchens themselves is that's really one of the primary creative places in a home. Mm-hmm. So it almost seems like the arts or the creativity is colliding in a wonderful mix or a wonderful stew, if one would. what's interesting, I was reading something that you're writing, you had written about the piece, and you know, you've been slow cooking this for a while, and
I thought, have.
But yeah, because you can't Instapot this.
No, you can't. So, at least I can't. Yeah. Maybe somebody can, but I can't.
So what I wanted to talk about is the process itself. I mean, to talk about kitchens and gathering spaces, to some of us that may seem like a no-brainer, that's embedded in our DNA or part of our family cultures. Mm-hmm. But not everyone's.
No, not everyone's.
So what sparked this idea?
Well, it's funny. As a storyteller, I do a lot of workshops around. And one of the storytelling activities I do is something called the object exercise. And part of it's about trying to help people give voice to the unspoken life of objects as a safe way of exploring an internal life that's not their own. And so we focused on the kitchen because it seemed everyone remembers a kitchen at some point. And so finding those objects in the kitchen that are not the most obvious go-to ones, you know, the ones hidden away in a drawer, the ones at the back of the cupboard, and what does that object want? What does it care about? And these workshops are so much fun watching people sort of discover stuff and very revealing, too, about the people. And I got to thinking that, like, there's something in this about the untold story of a kitchen. And I got to thinking about, you know, we all have our own kitchen stories, most of us, good and bad. And then I got to thinking, like, well, what's the story that the objects would tell? And, I mean, I know that my siblings and I disagree on, like, who burnt the toast, you know? But, like, the toaster could tell us,
oh,
right?
Yes.
And so, like, what happens when objects start throwing their point of view in? Mm. And that's kind of where this all started. It's gone on in a lot of different directions since then, but that's kind of where it started.
When you're gathering these stories, how do you do that? I mean, you say you do workshops, but what does that really mean?
Well, for this project, I've really been doing more story gathering than workshops. And so a story gathering is just when I find someone or a group of people who is like you.
Yeah, I gotta say, truth and honesty,
yes,
Mary visited my kitchen.
Yes, I did. It was wonderful. But somebody who's willing to let me come, just who's willing to talk to me about food, about memories, about recipes, about cooking. Mm. And as a storyteller, I love listening to other people tell me their stories. And I love trying to elicit things from them and gather truths about life, because our specifics may be different, but I think the truths we all live are universal. And so it's a way of honing in on what some of those universal truths are.
Well, you know, it's interesting you said that. I did a summer camp a couple of years ago with kids from all over different schools, and we shared lunch together every day of the week, mm-hmm. Instead of having them bring in their own bag lunches. I mean, we allowed them to if they were picky eaters, yeah. But we had different cultural representations. Mm-hmm. One day was Turkish, another day was Asian, another day was mm-hmm. something else. And it just turned out that every day we were having rice of some other variety, and how ubiquitous
yes.
that was.
Yes.
And
yes.
that's, you know, that's the other part of universality.
Yes.
I mean, look at pocket foods.
Yep.
Almost every culture
dough filled with something.
Exactly. Yes. And it could be sweet, it could be savory, but yep. every culture seems to have one mm-hmm. of these as well. So it's kind of neat to do a little bit of cultural archaeology, if
yes.
you would, in
yeah.
someone's kitchen.
Yeah.
When you were visiting my kitchen, I wonder what you were able to pick up, because I turned into a completely different person. I turned into the mom, don't mess with my kitchen, that's my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also trying to celebrate something that I was taught as a child.
Yeah.
And what was so interesting about the experience being the observed was, you know, trying not to feel like I was a lab rat being notes being taken and, you know, oh my gosh, did she just catch me swearing? I can't remember. But it was this really interesting way of observing the observer. I sound like an Escher drawing right now, but it was so interesting just kind of watching what you were picking up on.
Hmm.
And I never knew that was important. Oh, okay. I guess it was great.
Well, or just intrigued. Mm-hmm. Like, I just figure, to me, story gathering is about sitting down, having a conversation, and then following the conversation where it leads and mm-hmm. with the things that interest you, the way any two people getting together usually do, you know?
Well, you weren't just talking with people who live in the area, though.
No, I've been talking to people all over. It's been very cool.
All right, spill it.
Well, I think when Touchstone was on tour to Poland, I got to do a story circle with a group of 8 Polish women who are all great friends. And through a translator, I'm trying to gather stories about their memories of learning how to cook. And there were 2 sisters among this group, and they were both disagreeing with each other about who was the better cook.
Okay.
And the stories they told about how they learned to make pierogies and the recipes that they used. And it was really fascinating, because that part of Poland was resettled after the war. Because during the war, that part of Poland was Germany. And so when it got resettled by people from other parts of Poland, all those people moved to this small town, but they bring their village recipes with them. Mm-hmm. And so each of these women had a different traditional pierogi recipe that they'd use, because it came from their mother and their grandmother from the village that the grandmother moved there from. And one of the women, her grandmother's recipes were Russian, because her grandmother had been hauled off to a work camp during World War II mm-hmm. and had worked in the kitchens in Siberia. And so when she came back from Siberia, she brought some of those recipes with her. And so, like, this history and family mythology mm-hmm. that all gets embedded in the food we eat is mm-hmm. fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an hour and a half long conversation with the head butler at Christ Church College at Oxford University.
All right, now how'd you land that one? I just showed up, knocked on the door. Right. Yes.
Yeah, well, I lucked out because my husband, Ben, is a scholar and a professor at Lehigh University, and he was there for the semester at Oxford. He was invited to be there as a visiting lecturer and scholar, and so I tagged along for part of it. And he happened to be a fellow at Christ Church, and so that meant we were eligible for high table at Christ Church. So basically imagine Hogwarts dining hall, because that was modeled after Christ Church dining hall. And I sat where McGonagall sat at the head table and had dinner there. And Mr. Trevor Jones was the butler. And so after dinner, when he was making sure we were all happy with dinner and had the proper after-dinner drinks, I had an idea and thought, I wonder if he would talk to me. Because how cool would that be to talk to a butler?
But I thought butlers were supposed to keep things secret.
Well, they do. But he was quite willing to talk about himself. And I realized it was because nobody ever really asks him about himself. And so he was sharing memories about learning how to fish and how to hunt and picking vegetables out of his grandmother's garden. And he told me about how he became a butler. And he told me about some of the things that are proper and improper. And I mean, it was just so fun. And he kept talking and talking long after our time was up. And then he gave me a tour of the kitchens at Christchurch.
That must be extraordinary.
It is extraordinary.
Oh, good.
They are the original kitchens. They from 1539.
Oh my goodness.
And I walked through a door that was about a foot thick to get into the kitchen, and like it's had 400 years of food being prepared there. And it was an amazing space. And then I connived a tour of the wine cellar, the fabled wine cellar, which was pretty awesome.
In Oxford.
Deep underground, under Christchurch, there is a hidden labyrinth you shall not pass unless you're with the butler to get into the wine cellar.
Oh my goodness.
It was great. And the fact that he was so happy just to talk. Mm-hmm. And it's because we were just talking about everyday stuff, but the things I learned about him through talking about everyday stuff. And I think that's what I love about this project, is that it's a way of people getting to know each other in whole new ways.
Well, especially when, I mean, my mind now is floating with all of the scenes from Downton Abbey that I've watched, or, you know, any of the other BBC programs about butlers. So, you know, my imagination is on fire now, wanting to know more about the conversations that you've had. You know, gosh, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall during things. And maybe that's the way I would describe it. You are an invited fly on the wall of these places and these conversations.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, Mary, this is a very rich, rich and wonderful project. I want to definitely talk more about it. Our amiable engineer, Steve Aronson, is giving me a little bit of a signal that we're going to take a short break.
Okay.
So we're just going to take a short break for some messages, and we'll return with Mary Wright on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Mary, you are also an ensemble member with one of the partnering institutions that WDIY often supports, Touchstone Theater.
Yes, I am.
And this story gathering is a technique that is often used in many of the community programs or the community pieces that are devised by Touchstone.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the process of gathering these stories for, like, The River Runs Through It, or the ceremony place where Bill kept talking about For Your Consideration. What was that piece? It was a Civil War piece.
Yes.
Anyway,
A Resting Place.
Yeah. That's what it was. Tell us about
a
little bit of that.
Journey from the West. And Steel Bound and Southside Experience. It's a way of gathering, like, for Kitchen Chronicles, I'm going into people's homes and gathering stories sort of one-on-one with people. For those kinds of projects, a lot of times it's more story circle, getting a group of people together and asking questions about whatever the area of interest is and seeing what stories emerge. So for instance, for Southside Experience, which I wrote and directed for Touchstone eons ago, it was asking finding people who had grown up on the south side of Bethlehem, sort of in the shadow of the steel, But I didn't want to tell the story of Bethlehem Steel again. I wanted to tell the rest of the South Side story. And so finding people who were interested in talking about their memories of growing up here. Mm-hmm. And we managed to get stories that went back to almost the turn of the century, all the way to some of the most recent immigrants talking about their memories of moving here and, you know, in the 80s and in the 90s, you know. And so it's a process of interviewing, story gathering, recording those, and then the laborious task of transcribing all of those interviews so that you have it all in written form. And then as a playwright, going through and seeing what are the themes that are jumping out that seem to resonate, that you keep hearing the same, you keep hearing some of the same things in variety from different people. And so it's like, okay, here's themes and threads that I can start weaving together. Mm. And so as a playwright, it's about letting the community tell you what the play is going to be, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you have an idea of something that you want to approach and an area of interest that you think is important for the community to think about, talk about, remember. But what the thing is only gets decided by the people themselves, by what they tell you. Mm-hmm. And so it's a way as an artist to reflect back to the community what the community is saying. And the community may not even be aware that that's like, they're not seeing the bigger picture. They only see their tiny little thread.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have enough of these stories woven together, suddenly there's a tapestry and a bigger picture emerges.
Well, and it also sounds like it's a story that binds people together.
Yes.
They start to see that there are similarities,
yes,
even if they don't have it grown up together. They've almost lived the same story.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think that's one of the roles that the arts play, is about helping community see itself for who it is and celebrate who and what it is,
mm-hmm,
and those connections, and that we're way more connected than we are disconnected. And I think nowadays, more than ever, we need to be reminded of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's part of what I'm hoping Kitchen Chronicles will help do, is about showing how interconnected we really all are.
Well, what's interesting is I know that you're also a transplant. You come from outside.
Yeah.
And you did your own one-woman story 2 seasons ago at Touchstone, perhaps?
3 years ago.
3 years ago,
yeah.
Yes. I can't recall the title, but I do remember.
Mesway,
yes. My husband and I were talking about the piece afterward and how athletic you are, tumbling around on the ground and doing incredible things that, you know, I can only imagine doing 25 years ago. But it was just this incredible way of telling your story,
mm-hmm,
because for so many years you've been collecting the stories of people who live here, and knowing that you have such a unique background, and I mean, growing up in Burma,
yeah,
I mean, that's almost so disconnected from Bethlehem.
Yeah, yeah.
What brought you to Bethlehem?
My husband.
Oh, there you have it.
Yeah. When I remarried, and I married my dear friend Ben, and he was professor here at Lehigh, and so I came to Bethlehem. And I remember saying to him, like, what am I going to do in Bethlehem? And he said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to make art. And he said, then that's what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I have.
And how long have you been here?
It'll be 22 years in March.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What an incredible legacy you have built here. I know that arts organizations have been recognizing your work, that you've built a life in theater. And you're also the director of the Young Playwrights Lab,
yeah,
that also builds theater awareness in young kids. But it's not just here's the ticket, come see my show. It's here's a pen.
Yeah.
Write your story.
Write your story.
Oh, and yeah, to me that I'm just blown away by that program. Every year, it just brings out some of the brightest sparks in these kids.
Yeah, I love it. And I love seeing these kids discover their own creativity, yeah, in a way that they maybe haven't had the opportunity to yet. And to hear their artistic voice, as young as it is, Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't even have a clue of the truths that they're sharing. Mm-hmm. You know, the story may be about a cat and a dog, but really it's about understanding and acceptance. Mm-hmm. And they may not understand that, but we do when we see it.
Oh, goodness. Oh, that's just got to be such a human lift to the spirit.
Great. I love it. I love teaching these kids.
All right. So, okay, I'm having this conversation going all over the place. So, sorry, dear listener. Let's pull it back to the Kitchen Chronicles. When you're performing this, mm-hmm. You said it's actually like a home concert.
Yeah. It's like I got to thinking, like, how do I describe this to somebody, like this first version of it? Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking about those singer-songwriters, you know, who go around to people's homes and do a concert in their home. And in a way, it's sort of like a home concert. You know, people can, and I'm still looking for some people who might be interested out there, but starting next month.
Interested in hosting
you. In hosting me. Mm-hmm. So the plan is I go into somebody's house and we will have already arranged the evening through several visits that I have ahead of time with them, but they can invite their friends, their family, whoever they want to be there that can comfortably sit in the kitchen/dining room area. And I'm going to bake bread and as part of it. There'll be other food. Like they can make it a dinner party. They can make it appetizers, whatever they want to have it be. But we all sit around and eat. Mm-hmm. And I tell some of my stories, and hopefully they tell some of their stories.
Oh.
And
so it's not a cooking show.
It's not a cooking show.
Or a demo or anything.
It's not a demo.
Okay.
I will teach some truths that my grandmother taught me about baking bread. Huh? But no, it's not me coming in and cooking a meal and having it. You know, it's more about I'm an invited, honored guest, maybe. I don't know. I'm co-hosting at somebody else's house.
Yes.
But I think it should be a lot of fun.
So if someone was interested in hosting, how would they get in touch with you?
They can contact me at Touchstone. It's mary@touchstone.org.
Oh, that's tricky.
Yeah, mary@touchstone.org. And then if they're interested, I can send them a little piece of paper which outlines sort of what to expect. And
yes.
And then if they're agreeable to that, then I come and visit and we talk about more specifics and find the date we want.
And then I understand after this iteration of houses, mm-hmm. and homes, what's the next step?
So I'm doing this show in triplicate. Mm-hmm. Kind of a crazy notion, and some people have told me they think I'm a little nuts, but most of my friends have known that for a long time. So, in the fall, I'm going to be doing a version of this that is in a public kitchen, a larger sort of public kind of kitchen that will be part of a festival that Touchstone is putting on that people will hear a lot more about very soon.
Yeah.
That's a different iteration of this. And then the third version of it will be part of Touchstone's season next spring, where I will have a fully staged version of this.
In 2020,
spring of 2020. And so the spring of 2019 is sort of easy, relaxed, laid-back, non-theatrical house concert story sharing time. The fall is a little more theatrical, Mary telling more stories and,
maybe more scripted?
More scripted, just as playful, just as fun. Mm-hmm. And then in spring right now, my thought is that it will be a real play, like what people think of as a play. Mm. And so, and my thought is I'll be playing three generations of women in the same kitchen.
Mm, this sounds so fascinating. And I'm hoping that multiple generations will be intrigued by this piece, even in all three iterations. One of the things that I fear is, you know, the younger generation is not interested in cooking and not interested in carrying on these family traditions. I'm hoping that this could spark some curiosity about themselves and about their own history.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. And I think for people to realize that the time spent eating is less about the nourishing of the body and more about the nourishing of the spirit.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for your time this
evening.
Thank you. It's been a wonderful conversation, and I hope that if any listeners interested in Kitchen Chronicles, they contact Mary
at
touchstone.org. I want to thank Steve Aronson for engineering the show tonight. I'm your host, Sheila White. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon.